evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, September 6th, 2019. The former president of Zimbabwe is dead.
Because Robert Mugabe was right at first, but somehow he went wrong.
And South Sudanese official reacts to Robert Mugabe's death.
Our late chairman and even our present president, Salva Kiir Mayardi, they used to call President Mugabe the chief of staff. You could understand because he was our connecting point with the other presidents across Africa.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Robert Mugabe, who ruled the Southern African nation of Zimbabwe for 37 years following the end of white minority rule in the 1980s, has died at the age of 95. Some hail him as a liberation hero who stood by his principles. Others say he rigged elections, destroyed the economy of Africa's former breadbasket, and terrorized his people for decades. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Harare on Robert Mugabe's life and legacy.
Robert Mugabe, Zimbabwe's first president, leaves behind a complicated legacy after 37 years of increasingly autocratic rule. In his younger years, he led the guerrilla movement that resulted in Zimbabwe's independence. At the time, he was hailed as a liberation hero, both inside and outside the former British colony once known as Rhodesia. Early on, he urged Zimbabweans to reconcile after the civil war that raged during the final colonial years. He also initially expanded the country's education and health systems, making them among the best regarded in Africa. But as time went on, Mugabe grew intolerant of dissent and faced increasing allegations of human rights abuses, repression, and election rigging. Farm output plunged after land reforms transferred white-owned commercial farms to black Zimbabweans, some of whom lacked the experience and funding to make the farms productive. For many Zimbabweans, cash, jobs, and fairly priced commercial goods remain impossible to get. And for that, many blame Mugabe. Speaking to VOA in 2018, Mugabe defended his years in power.
And I have, during that time, during all this time, cried for return, our return to constitutionality. Our return to legality. Our return to freedom for our people. An environment in which our people would be free.
28-year-old clerk Pedzai Chikwenya said he had mixed feelings about the man who ruled Zimbabwe for most of his life.
Because Robert Mugabe was right at first, but somehow he went wrong.
As he aged into his 90s, Mugabe grew frail and his wife, unpopular with the public, positioned herself to eventually take power. The military prevented that by taking control of state institutions and forcing Mugabe to resign in November 2017. He was replaced by his longtime deputy, Emmerson Mnangagwa. Mnangagwa, notably, declined to prosecute Mugabe.
Near but not evil is the founding father of the nation of Zimbabwe. He is our founding father of free Zimbabwe.
Mugabe will be buried at Harare's Heroes Acre Cemetery, his final resting place overlooking a country that, for decades, was inseparable from the man at the top. Anita Powell, VOA News, Harare.
President Salva Kiir has sent a message of condolences to the people of Zimbabwe. South Sudan's former Foreign Minister Barnaba Marial Benjamin was the SPLM representative to the Southern African region. Marial says late Robert Mugabe was a strong supporter of South Sudan's struggle for independence.
It's a sad day, not only for the people of Zimbabwe, but equally for the people, the Pan-Africans in Africa, as well and particularly for the people of South Sudan. Because President Mugabe was very clear and transparent about the justice of the case for the liberation of the people of South Sudan. And he gave his utmost help, both diplomatic, political, and even talking to our enemies at the time, that they have got to realize that the self-determination for the people of South Sudan was a strategic solution to the problems the whole country, the Sudan, was facing. And for me personally, I knew him and he knew me personally. I related to him in all the difficulties the movement had. Our late chairman, Dr. Garang, our present president, Salva Kiir, who was the chief of staff at the time, frequented visiting Zimbabwe. And he was very warm, invited us for tea, usually in the evenings, so that he could have a full insight into what the problem of South Sudan was. South Sudan exists today because of the help he gave us during the liberation struggle.
Yes. And I remember when late Dr. John Garang visited Zimbabwe, he got a red carpet treatment. Could you speak to that experience?
Absolutely. It was amazing. But he equally convinced the rest of his liberators, his colleagues, Kenneth Kaunda, and at the time also in Hassan Mwinyi in Tanzania, in Mozambique, in Botswana. Wherever Dr. Garang went, he was given a red carpet treatment. And even Malawi of President Banda, I can go on. It's just amazing. In Namibia, with Sam Nujoma, when Dr. Garang flew there in a small plane, he was given a red carpet. Garang gave lectures at the universities of Southern Africa, in Harare, Zimbabwe University, equally in Tanzanian University, in Dar es Salaam, and all the rest, and where he exposed the justice of the case of the people of South Sudan. It was the platform actually rolled out by President Mugabe with assistance of President Kaunda, our late chairman, and even our present president, Salva Kiir Mayardit. They used to call President Mugabe the chief of staff. You could understand, because he was our connecting point with the other presidents across Africa.
Yes, and I also got to learn that the South Sudanese who were refugees in Zimbabwe were given a state treatment. For instance, I was told South Sudanese could get Zimbabwean documents and they were allowed to work in Zimbabwe. Could you speak to that experience?
Absolutely. Yes, in fact, the Zimbabwean government adopted a policy that any South Sudanese refugee in any other African country who was coming without a passport, without a proper traveling document, and if he had the ID of the SCLM, the Zimbabwean government had instructed those countries to allow them to proceed to Zimbabwe with the simple ID, which I used to issue in Zimbabwe and issued in Nigeria, in Kenya, and issued in Addis Ababa. If they came through with an ID of the SPLM, they would immediately be welcomed into Zimbabwe and assisted, allowed into a refugee camp, allowed to go to school if they were of school age, given complete, absolute security. And as soon as some of our refugees coming from Mozambique or coming from Malawi or from Tanzania or coming from Kenya, they're going down. As soon as they arrive with their IDs, there they feel at home. And that's what President Mugabe did for this struggle and for the people of South Sudan. So we mourn him. Our president, our government, all the colleagues here should mourn him very seriously, and especially people of South Sudan. They should really mourn President Mugabe because of what he did for the people of South Sudan. And he's tremendous, an Africanist sort of connection, which was very deep as far as he was concerned. He was looking both inside but also outside what was happening in South Sudan. I can remember with the colleagues from the ANC, we would get together and see before even Mandela was released from prison. We had all the avenues of what we could do. Encourage was following strictly. And for your information,
that's Barnaba Marial Benjamin, South Sudan's special envoy and former representative of the SPLM to the Southern Africa region. He spoke to me from Juba earlier today. Mugabe's death has struck a somber chord in the streets of South Sudan. Some South Sudanese are reminded of the positive relations between their country and Zimbabwe, while others think of late former President Robert Mugabe as an African nationalist and a revolutionary who, quote, lost direction along the way.
I am Bramatali Wani Loli Pololisi, and when I heard about his death, I felt one African nationalist had left. Although an African nationalist that relaxed too much and never solved the problems of Africa, and those problems still remain. So we wish him eternity. Well, I think he has been great. He has been a great revolutionist. Just like many other revolutionists, must have lost direction along the way. The test of power has always been a problem in Africa. As others say, too much power corrupts. He probably got corrupted along the way, and as a result, he missed many noble things that, if he had done, would have made him greater. Perhaps the same case as we are in South Sudan. We are somehow lost, isn't it? And South Sudan today is in some quagmire, wallowing, and the citizens are all suffering. But we hope to learn lessons, and we hope we can do better than Mugabe.
My name is Sebalamu Kenneth. Yeah, when I heard that Mugabe has died, it really shocked me, because I used to know Mugabe with his intelligence, his quotings he ever sends on social medias, Facebook and what of you. Those he had a wonderful sense of knowledge. In fact, when you read his quotes, there are so much jokes. They are so educative. He was extremely a very intelligent guy. So, in fact, the whole globe has lost a very intelligent guy. Much as people are saying he overstayed in power, he was not democratic. Yes, that happens. But since we know that no any other president who has up to 7 degrees, indeed, it is a very big loss to the entire globe.
Yeah, I'm by name Guy Peter Kut. Yeah, I want to talk about the death of Mugabe. Yeah, in Africa, it is also sad to Africa, and especially in South Sudan, because our relationship with Zimbabwe, the northern supporting South Sudan, especially like the scholarship they used to give away children. So it is very important, and actually it is not good, by the way, to lose the life, regardless either his age, like he has like 95 age. So it is sad to Africa. That is what I can also add, and it really means a lot to Africa, not only South Sudan, even the world at large. So I think that could be actually very bad to all of the world.
Yeah, I'm very sorry for the death of Robert Mugabe. I'm Peter from Juba. So I send my condolences to the family to be patient and not to give up, because everything is of this world is like that. No, this is the way we are going through.
Those are voices from the streets in the South Sudanese capital, Juba, about the death of former Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the new Sudanese Prime Minister wants the United States to remove his country from the list of countries sponsoring terrorism. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how many times do you laugh in a day?
I don't even think about, like, I'm going to laugh, because it's an emotional thing. When I'm happy, I laugh. When I'm sad, I laugh. I don't know.
I actually can't count the number of times I laugh, but I laugh a lot. And most of the times, it's maybe because of the experiences I've had, or maybe things that people do around me that make me laugh.
I can't estimate how many times I laugh a day, but previously I do laugh, you know, regardless of being counting the time. But nowadays, I don't see any other thing that can make me laugh.
My laughters are very few. I used to laugh even, I cannot even count them, countless. But just by the situation my country is now, I cannot laugh that much.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Last night, Sudanese Prime Minister Mohamed Abdallah Hamdok announced his long-awaited cabinet of 18 ministers, including four women. He said the transitional government, scheduled to last for 39 months, will focus on silencing the guns and revamping the Sudanese economy. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Juba.
The female Sudanese cabinet members are Foreign Minister Asma Muhammad Abdullah, Higher Education Minister Intisar Sighairoun, Youth and Sports Minister Wala Albushi, and Social Welfare Minister Lina Ashekh. Hamdok apologized for the delay in announcing the members of his cabinet. Speaking in Arabic, Hamdok said he wanted to ensure that all regions of the country are represented and that his ministers were fully vetted.
I have screened and checked all the list of the cabinet members, and at the end of the day, I did not find anything that could prevent them from holding their responsibility. And I believe they will be ready to serve the people of Sudan, and we are hopeful that they will do so.
Hamdok noted the new ministers will face many challenges as they move to restore peace and revamp the nation's economy. But he says spending huge amounts of money on fighting rebels in pockets of Sudan is a thing of the past.
The war in Sudan takes between 70 to 80% of the national budget, and we want to put an end to this practice. We would want to use this to provide health and educational services and work to reproduce our productive projects. By doing so, I believe we shall have a strong and sustainable economy in the Sudan.
Hamdok called on the United States to remove Sudan from the list of countries sponsoring terrorism, saying it would help the country regain its reputation.
We have to be able to remove Sudan from the list of states sponsoring terrorism. But I think there is quite a positive response to this, and we are certain this will happen. A democratic Sudan is not a threat to anybody in the world. And in that sense, there is a goodwill.
For the last 30 years, during the regime of Omar al-Bashir, Hamdok says Sudan's civil service institutions were weakened and now must be restored. He says the Minister of Social Development and Labor, Lina Sheikh, will formulate programs to reform the civil service sector.
We need to be engaged in a series of training and rehabilitation because we have been forced to stay away from the world for a long period of time. We need to see the media playing a healthy role in the coming period so that we are able to work hand in hand to create a healthy climate which helps in exposing our differences.
The entire 18 members of the cabinet are expected to be sworn in over the next few days. For VOA News, I am Michael Atid in Juba.
A South Sudanese lawmaker is calling on President Salva Kiir to fire Finance Minister Salvatore Garang for failing to honor his pledge to pay civil servants their back salaries in June. Lawmakers blocked Garang from presenting the 2019-2020 fiscal year budget in protest over the government's failure to pay civil servants back salaries of up to 7 months. Viola Elias has more for VOA from Juba.
After lawmakers block Minister Garang from presenting his proposed budget in June, Garang paid 2 of 6 months of unpaid salary for national workers and 2 of 7 months due to state civil servant. He pledged to pay another 2 months of unpaid salaries within 2 weeks, but never did so. Arkanjilo Kanyara works with the Wildlife and Tourism Ministry, speaking in Arabic. Kanyara says the government delays in paying salaries has made life even harder for civil servants who have a mega salary to begin with. Kanyara says if the finance minister is unable to handle his position, he should quit so that a competent minister can be appointed who will pay civil servants their salaries.
Food is a problem. If you are sick like me, then it becomes hard for me to get money so that I can go to the hospital. If you go to Juba Teaching Hospital, there is no medicine. The government should think about us, the civil servants.
Toby Martino works for Public Service Ministry. Speaking in Arabic, he says some people working in South Sudan private sectors are better off than civil servants who go for months without being paid.
I really don't know how civilians are surviving. Women who are selling okras in the markets are much better than people who are working with the government. MPs are speaking for themselves because the money they receive, no civilian is able to get.
Dorwai Mabor Teng, who represent Western Lakes State in the Transitional National Legislative Assembly, says the minister should be held accountable for failing to pay civil servants within the period he pledged to do so.
I want to confirm that the Minister of Finance failed to actually implement his promise of 2 weeks to pay the absence. The arrears of the civil servant. And for this, the President of South Sudan should call the Minister of Finance and question him why the salary are not paid. Because the Minister of Finance is actually lying to the people.
Mabor called on President Kiir to order Garang to pay the civil servant salaries in arrears within this week. He says Garang has to stop the practice of giving cash from government coffers to well-connected businessmen.
The Minister of Finance is giving money to businessmen. He's prioritizing in his table the payment of the businessmen who are not even actually produce, making market stable. They trick us with the speaker because the speaker know that we are going actually to be tough even to the speaker because we want the speaker to actually audit the parliament. We want accountability this time.
In response to Mabor comments, Information Minister Michael Makwi accused certain lawmakers of being anti-government.
These 7 MPs are anti-government. The rest are there and they know what is happening in the government. And any MP knows his responsibilities and his duties. So when you got some individual members of the parliament talking out their mind, that is not the position of the parliament.
Makwe says the finance minister Garang is doing his job and that quote, all these issues will be resolved. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
It's now time for our listener comments, and we start with Mal Achor in Bor, who writes, "Africa is so shocked today on Mugabe's death. I could not believe because I listened to VOA Africa at 6 a.m., but James Batty did not mention anything about the death of Mugabe." Duku Julius from Juba, South Sudan writes, "It's unfortunate for the untimely death of our African hero, who is the only African who fought for Zimbabwean rights without regression and compromise. Our African hero, Father Robert Gabriel Mugabe, rest in peace." Another listener writes, "I'm Yoani K in Arua District, Uganda. Thanks for the program. We are having South Sudan tournament that is taking place, showing unity for us in Arua with clubs like Yeye United, Lex FC, Nasir FC, and many others, giving a total of 10 clubs. Have a nice weekend, our dear presenters." Ajakwal Ajak from Nimule commented about the Tuesday's boat accident on River Nile, calling it very sad. He goes on, "Our people always ignore warnings. Violations from Bor Mayor has now caused loss of lives. May their innocent souls rest in peace and condolences to the affected families. A listener calling himself Engineer Kulang Machur from Kaya, South Sudan writes, I'm very happy to connect with you. I always enjoy listening to your beautiful programs through Ugandan FM radios. Your news are always precise, short and important for South Sudan and the rest of Africa. All this is because of our son of the land, John Tanza, and his team. Congratulations and God bless you. Ephraim Bangisa from South Sudan writes, Hello, VOA. Thanks for your nice informative program on the xenophobic attack in South Africa. I want to tell those carrying the attacks that it is better to plant the seed of love than the seed of hatred. No human being is created to live alone or in isolation. And Michael Beck Marop Malo in Juba writes, Hello, I'm grateful to all VOA journalists of South Sudan in Focus. You always give us accurate news, but as of today, I am very disappointed. What is happening in South Africa right now is not good. African Union has to look into this. Charles from Torit writes, I agree with the report about occupation of lands and houses by some individuals who take up other people's properties. We hope land tenure system is introduced in South Sudan by the government. Otherwise, many refugees fear to come back home. Another listener from the Sudanese capital, Khartoum, who did not provide his or her name, writes, I listen from Khartoum on 97.5 FM, which was previously used by a Sudanese radio called Radio Sawa. Well, we are glad you can hear us now in the Sudanese capital on 97.5 FM. Latigo from Koboko in Uganda writes, Good evening and thank you for keeping us updated with the latest events happening in South Sudan. I request that you introduce sports in the news. Latigo, we will present your request to the management for further action. Anyang Panchol Anyang writes, I'm glad and more excited to be in touch with VOA. I'm a refugee in Uganda, Adjumani. VOA News is my favorite news because they always provide me with what is going on in my country, South Sudan. Thanks to VOA founders and news reporters. Keep the spirit. God bless you. We thank all of you for your comments. Please remember to keep them short and sweet and let us know where you are writing from. That's our show.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Dr. John by Lasso Emmanuel. We've been listening to Emmanuel Lasso with the song Dr. John. I am John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.